Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down and check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Okay, I'm Dylan McNabb. Go by the name of Woolbear for my music project. Born in British Columbia. Grew up in Yellowknife, and I've been living in Edmonton area since 2009. Got my beautiful wife. We've been married 7 years. We've got two beautiful children, 8 years old and 5 years old. And in the past 2 years, I've really started pursuing music as a career. I want to be able to switch over from doing a heavy duty mechanic over to being a DJ. So the big thing for me is getting gigs, which super grateful for these guys. Got me my first show in Fort McMurray, and then now I've gotten 4 shows under my belt. I've got a Frenzy Festival on the lineup coming up this summer, so things are really starting to take off for me in that space, and I'm just like super honored to be here and to be able to have this conversation with you today.
Shout out to you for playing that first show.
Yeah.
That is the best first show story of anybody ever.
Yeah.
You showed up with an hour's worth of notice in minus 50 to play a show you didn't know existed until 2 days prior. Like,
yeah,
that's remarkable. Yeah. And you killed it.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Coldest day on the planet on like Earth.
Yeah.
Like, it was so cold that
day. That's a real stat.
Yeah.
It was a wild day. Yeah, for sure.
Nobody's car starting after.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just a mess of an event, and you just came and rocked it with an hour's worth of notice.
Yeah.
No, I would have never set plans.
I would have never thought my first gig would be completely freestyled, but it kind of was when opportunity knocks that to me, I really looked at it as like that was a moment where like if I pursue it and I show that I can do it to myself, it really catapulted me to get to the point where I'm at now, where I just feel like things are starting to fall in place, and I you kind of have to do that moment where you like check yourself and you're like, am I ready for this? Am I willing to do this? And like, yeah, I'm super happy that I did it.
Yeah.
I think it went well. And I started getting like a small fan base in Fort McMurray that's like always going to be like super close to my heart to be like, this is where it all started for me.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And like the progression of your music since we've seen you a few times now. Like, it's wild to see like the improvement.
Thanks, man.
Like, I thought you were awesome to begin with. Like, I was just like, man, from the first time I saw you, we were chatting, I was like, man, you got something.
Yeah.
And then last night when I saw you, I was like, who is this guy? Like, that's not the guy that I heard before. Like,
thank you.
Your confidence level definitely is it's growing. You can see it.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it's something that I'm super passionate about. Like, I've been a fan of the music since, like, my sister showed me, took me to my first rave, 2009. It was Caspa and Rusko in Edmonton.
Oh.
My first show that I ever went to. And I remember when they played Pro Nails, that was, like, literally the song of the summer, and then rolled into, like, a whole new love for music that started within. Because before that, I was a big fan of, like, hip-hop, like Lil Wayne, Wu-Tang Clan, kind of listening to like Southern rappers and stuff like that. Paul Wall, I really like some of that kind of music, and I like the vibe that they would put out. And I also really like a lot of like metal, and I was kind of caught in between there. So when dubstep kind of started coming up, I was like, man, this is kind of feeding me on both of these fronts. And
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
you know, it always just took off from there. And then I never really thought that I was gonna go and pursue it as a producer and as a DJ. I just knew that I was a big fan of the genre. And then started going to music festivals and all the shows I could in Edmonton. And then, yeah, about 3 years ago, something had changed within me where I was looking for a moment of trying to deal with mental struggles in a healthy way. And I had a moment where, yeah, I kind of was self-reflecting on, I was playing a lot of video games, I was drinking alcohol quite a bit. I was kind of just not the best version of myself, and I knew that I was going through some mental stuff, which everybody does in life. But I really kind of like started to realize that the thing that is going to give me the fulfillment that I was desiring was going to be through music. And then once I started kind of like changing my perspective on being like, oh, I'm not just going to be a fan of it, I want to be creating it, I want to DJ, and I want to have that moment of, like, you know, giving some sort of a release to the audience and the dance floor and people really just vibing with me. Like, I just really started to think that I could do that.
Yeah,
I had that self-belief. And then, like, ever since then, like, I would say that when I pursue something, I have kind of like a, almost like a pretty regimented and strategic way that I go about things. And then so with music, what I was really a big believer in is, like, each day, like, put 20 minutes in, put an hour in, and just create those habits of, like, making those small incremental improvements and really, like, get into that headspace of, like, you know, it's not about looking at, like, somebody that's already up the mountain and trying to compare yourself to them, because they've already been at it for years and years and years, and you'll kind of, like, discourage yourself from getting into that creative space. But rather kind of look at it as, like, man, like, I can't believe a year ago I could have never seen myself even being in the position where I'm at now. And, like, in my own journey and within my own path, that things are growing in their own natural way, right? And I'm just kind of, like, enjoying the ride more that way. So that's really been great, and it's awesome to hear feedback, like, from you guys. Like, when we played in Calgary, it meant a lot that, you know, it was like, oh, every time I come and see you, like, it's crazy that you're making these incremental improvements, that it's like,
it's not
done growing.
It's huge.
Yeah.
The steps that you make are huge. Like, you want to give people a release, bro? Last night, people released themselves.
Yeah.
Piddle on the floor, people's knees were weak. Like, yeah. You killed that floor, bro.
Yeah, I had to take a break. Yeah. Like, I've never taken a break before. Like, there's certain times where, like, I'm just not into the music, and so I'm like, okay, this is a natural progression for me to go and, like, relax.
Right.
But, like, yesterday, I was just like, you just didn't stop, man. Yeah. And I was just like, I just need to take a legitimate break. There was a song that you were playing where, like, I need to walk away from this. And I was disappointed.
Yeah.
And I went to the lady who was collecting tickets, and I was like, I need to take a break. She's like, yeah, me too. And we sat for, like, 2 minutes. I'm like, all right, I'm going back in. Like, nice. But that's never happened to me. I've gone to a lot of shows now, man.
It didn't happen at Murata.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, like, Murata was a thing. Were you at Murata?
No, I didn't yet. Oh, yeah, that would have been nasty.
That was
yeah,
he's stupid, awesome. Man. That
crazy good, wild. Crazy good sound design.
Yeah. No, that guy, like, it's some other. It's a whole other experience
for sure.
Like, you come out of there, and it's like you were 14 and lost your virginity again.
Yeah,
you're just, like, sweaty. You don't know what's going on. You told it was going to be amazing, but you didn't know it was like that. Like, it was,
yeah,
it was a whole
change of life.
Yeah, for real. You're like, I can't go back now. Like, I know what this is like.
Yeah.
That show was a problem. But yeah, I didn't walk off on, like, I literally need to take a break. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, I felt bad for the headliner, because when he got there, I was just like, man, I'm tired.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's kind of that little bit of, like, trying to balancing between, yeah, you don't want to burn people out.
Yeah.
Especially if you're the opener for, like, obviously, like, Delete This is a great act. I definitely feel like he's well deserving of being in that headliner slot, and I just want to do the best job I could do to kind of, like, get people to that space where they're ready to throw down for him. And then considering, like, the time slot was midnight, that I was like, okay, I'm gonna have, like, a good amount of people on the dance floor. I really want to, like, you know, bring the best that I can bring. And like, I feel that a lot of my style is, like, I try to incorporate a little bit of, like, the musical quality of things. So I'll have, you know, beautiful piano keys or a female vocalist. I'll have things that I pick certain elements of certain songs and genres and stuff like that. But I really love that light with the dark so that they can kind of take them on that euphoric experience in the beginning, and then when it's time to throw down, that it really like takes people like down into the sewers almost, where they're like, oh, I didn't know this is where it was going with that, right?
Duality.
Yeah, exactly, right? It helps those parts kind of shape out nicely.
Yeah, it was needed when like you're playing those softer things. It's like, okay, now I can just sway instead of just like going for it. So. Yeah, no, the progression has been wild to see. Like, it's been really enjoyable, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. So, when it comes to rap, do you still listen to rap at all?
I would say I'm still kind of stuck in, like, the, you know, 2010s. Yeah. I really like that era of rap. There is some rap nowadays that I kind of vibe with.
Yeah.
And there's some artists that are out there, like Def 3, that's playing at Frenzy Fest, playing at Shambhala. He's a local guy from BC.
Yeah.
That you really want to like keep tabs on the guys who are kind of within your local scene.
Okay.
But I would say the mainstream hip-hop and stuff like that, I'm not really focused too much on that. Like, a lot of the stuff that comes out, to me anyways, it doesn't have the same lyrical value.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, I don't know. I always feel that like the production that goes into EDM is different than the production that goes into hip-hop.
Yeah.
So for me, the best part about it is if you can lay down a new beat and something that's like got that EDM background to it with some really hard-hitting vocals that happened, you know what I mean? And it's kind of like a reframing that song for some people.
Yeah.
Really hits home, right? So
yeah.
At the end of the day, I really like to just play the things that I like.
Yeah. You know?
Like right now, I've got a song. I've been working on flipping. It's a Ice Cube, and it's called Smoke Some Weed.
Yeah.
And it's like from 2009, 2008, but it has a really cool kind of like West Coast whistle synth noise that's in there.
Yeah.
And I really want to like bring a lot more attention to that because it just sounds so beautiful and pure. And I want to have that as, like I said, with the lighter side, and then bring a darker element of my own stuff, and then kind of contrast within a song.
Yeah.
So that's something that like in the background I've been working on, and it's awesome to be able to get into the production side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then for me, like being able to try to creatively bring a vision out like with that song that, you know, it's funny because I've been listening to that song for like, you know, 10-15 years.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like kind of reframing, like, oh, there's something I can do with this now.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, I listen to the way it is. I'm like, I can make it my own.
Yeah.
So that's really important.
Yeah, it's cool that you can hear that and then place it later.
Mm-hmm.
There's one song that, I don't know, it has Eazy-E in it.
Yeah.
But it's a hard song. I was listening to it. It's in my playlist. You're the one who found it.
Oh, I think I know the one.
Oh, man. And so, like, for me, the reason I asked about rap is, like, because I'm like yourself. I got stuck in the genre of rap, and then I started to, like, listen to EDM, and, like, I would hear the samples. So I started listening to, like, newer rap artists, like, that are more lyrical, like Vince Staples.
Yeah.
Or, like, the UK scene right now is,
oh,
like,
for sure.
Nutty.
Yeah.
But it's only because of EDM music that I started listening to rap again.
Yeah.
Cause,
especially
like, I was,
in the European scene.
Yeah.
100%.
Because, like, and especially when I had my kid. I'm gonna get in trouble for this story. So Keegan was listening to Lil Wayne with me in the car,
right?
And we were listening to clean versions of Lil Wayne.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, but he says, what the f though, what the f though? And so my wife, my brother-in-law and his wife come in the car one day, and the clean version of this Lil Wayne song comes on, and Keegan is just like, oh my god, I love Lil Wayne so much. I'm like,
right.
Shut up for one. And then my wife's like, you know Lil Wayne? She's like, yeah, he's the best, he can't pronounce his F's.
Oh.
What the f though? What the f though? And my wife looked at me and was just like, you're dead. And I was like, okay, no more rap music when Keegan's in, because he started to like listen.
Yeah.
So I went down this whole journey, which I'm so happy about. Was listening like to the Beatles and Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix and like cleaner stuff, which I had listened to in the past, but not like delved into those catalogs.
Right.
So then I was just like,
I wouldn't even say cleaner.
Yeah,
just more outwardly appropriate, because some of those songs you listen to, they're not much.
Oh, cooler. No. Yeah. When he sings like some of the Beatles songs, I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's so, kinda, you it's really just, have to think about the lyrics in those. Yeah. Ones. It's not just a swear word that's like so up in your face, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
so,
it's the same with my son. He's because I'm DJing, right, and I'm practicing in the basement all the time at home, and there's certain songs that I have that they've got the bad words in them. And then sometimes, like, I got to rehearse it 10, 12 times to really understand.
Yeah.
Because everything kind of, like, the way they transition between songs, a lot of them is almost like a combo. Like, I would relay it to almost like when you're playing Street Fighter or something. You're like, when this happens, this is how you counter it. And then you work in those kind of, like, the two songs playing. Yeah. And then they kind of, like, have a dance between them. And it's a choreographed dance that you play.
Mm.
And then so to rehearse that, oftentimes it'll play the same song.
Yeah.
And then it'll have that bad word in it.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, we're in the car going to pick up his sister from school, and he's singing along.
That's
and
right.
He's saying the bad part, and you're like, okay, buddy, we gotta, you know, we know that it's not what we should be saying.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Oh, Tanner just hit his phone. That means he's ready with his segment called the Max City Minute. This is a sponsor segment by Carrie from Patchouli Rose that you'll see at the end of the video. But Carrie, thank you for your ongoing support. Tanner, hit him with the Max City Minute.
Alrighty, question number one for you today. What is one song you love to play live the most?
Oh, okay. The one song that I like to play live the most, I would say right now, I played it last night. I really like the Peekaboo Like That Tape B remix. Oh, yeah. When he plays that, the sound design that's in there, I know that the influence that he has, he's an up and coming, like I would say, like he's on the main stages now, but like 2 years ago nobody really knew who he was. But the influences that Tape B has are very similar to the influences that I have, where it comes from Zed's Dead, where it comes from like Bass Nectar, where the sound design that's there is so great that when I heard that song, that flip that Tape B did, I was like, oh my god, this is my jam. So
question number two, what was your favorite TV show from when you were a child?
I probably gotta say The Simpsons, honestly. Like growing up, I didn't have much for cable and shit like that, so we were using like, you know, CBC, and they would throw that in there, so that was the one.
Classic. What is your go-to road trip snack?
It's gotta be Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. That's my jam right there.
Yeah. Oh,
that might be number three now. Okay.
Question number four, what is one place you gain inspiration for your music people wouldn't expect?
Where they wouldn't expect? That's a good question. Where I would say that they wouldn't expect, the people who know me know, but the other people who don't know that there's a certain tree at Shambhala, it's called the Wishing Tree, and then the Wishing Tree has been super meaningful to me, and there's a cushion that's there that they just installed last year, and it's like a little throne, and where the tree roots or the tree trunk carves in, it's almost like a backrest, and I sit there and people think I go to this music festival to go and cut it up on the dance floor and rip it up all day long, and actually sit in that spot and do a lot of internal work and a lot of thinking.
Nice.
And your final question, how did you get the Woebear name?
So the Woebear name, I'm indigenous, I'm Métis, and so as a kid, I would often have dreams of a bear, and I would tell it to my mom, and she was telling me that that's like my spirit animal, that's my spirit animal calling me.
Mm.
And in my dreams, like I would constantly be running from the bear, and then I'd be frightened, right? And then anytime because we lived up north in Yellowknife, so we do a lot of camping, and it's all bear country out there, and we had a cabin. And anytime I'd be out there, I would be a child, but I would be afraid to be outdoors by myself, or I would be afraid that I'm gonna bump into a bear.
Mm.
And then, and in my teenage years, my mom had said, well, like, you have to confront the bear in your dream. You have to, because it would be the repeated dream. And one time I did. I was running from it, and then I was scared. I remember that moment, and I turned around and I said, what do you want? And it just had a moment where it just looked at me, and all of a sudden just walked away. Like, it was like, there wasn't any, I wasn't afraid, it wasn't aggressive, it just wanted my attention.
Yeah.
As soon as I gave it my attention, it walked away. And then once I started on this DJing journey, I think just before I started on the DJing journey, my wife and I, we took the kids camping. We were out in Nordegg in Crownland, and we were camping just after Labor Day long weekend, and we were camping right around Abraham Lake, and we had a moment where we just got there, it was about 7 or 8 p.m., We had our two dogs with us, Benny and Chloe. So we were scoping out of places to camp out for the weekend or for 3 days or whatever. And we kind of like find a good spot. It's beautiful, the Crown Land out there. We find it like shoreline camping, fire pits already ready for us. We start setting up camp. So we all kind of took a haul with us, and I left the dogs in the truck. And then I had told my wife, like, okay, well, like, why don't you kind of get the kids situated, like, get them set up with, like, a snack or something, and uh-huh. I'll go get the rest of the stuff out of the truck, I'll feed the dogs, and then we'll set up the camp together. So then on my way back to the camp, I had noticed that there was one other car that was in this parking alongside the lake.
Yeah.
So I knew that we weren't alone, and then I got back to the truck, let the dogs out of the truck, put the food in the dish for both of them. And then I kind of looked over, and so I have a Bernese Mountain Dog, so he's like 120 pounds, like he's a big boy.
Yeah.
And as they were like getting ready to eat, I like noticed that it looked like another Bernese Mountain Dog walking about 20 feet in front of my truck.
Yeah.
But that one had a clipped tail, and I had to take a second take, and I was like, no, that's a bear actually.
Yeah.
And then so in that moment, I had put the dogs and the food dishes back in the truck. They had no idea what was going on, but yeah, I got them out of there.
Yeah.
And then my first concern was the people. It was a looked like a mother and daughter. They were like both adults, but they were camping down, and the bear was making his way down to their camp. And then so like my instincts were like, I've got to go and kind of cut in front on an angle from where the bear is and meet this camp. And then so when I walked up to the camp, I had told these two ladies, I was like, hey guys, just to let you know, there's a bear that's coming over towards your camp. It's just over here. And they couldn't see because their tent was in the way and they were sitting by the fire.
Mm.
And they're like, where is it? How close is it? He's about 20 feet. Like, he's pretty close. So they stood up and then they started. I was like, you should just walk this way towards me. So they walked over with me. And then I was asking them, like, oh, do you guys have any food in your camp? Like, are you, because you're supposed to keep it all contained, right? Yeah. Not just have it laying out. And, he was like rustling through their stuff, and I was like, hey, well, you guys got to let him do his thing here. So what we're going to do is, like, I need to go and get my family safe.
Yeah.
So like, are you guys good? And they're like, yeah. So they kind of gave him safe space and they just let him go through their camp. And then, yeah, I had a funny moment where I was trying to keep my cool, but I was obviously like pretty stressed out about the situation. And the bear was going to be kind of in between where we needed to get back to the truck. Like, he wasn't going to be far away, depending on where he ended up going, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I was trying to keep my cool. I saw Jess at the camp, and I was maybe 50 feet away walking towards her. And then at first, I was like, Jess, just try to act normal.
Yeah.
And she must not have heard me, or she was busy with the kids or whatever.
Yeah.
So I didn't get a reply back. And then I was like, a little bit louder. I was like, Jess? And still no answer. And then I was like, Jessica!
Yeah.
And then I knew she turned and looked, and I was like, there's a bear over in the other camp.
Yeah.
Like, we got to get the kids and we got to go in the truck right now. Okay. Yeah. So like, she's like, okay. Like, she kept her cool. She grabbed she grabbed Dakota.
Yeah.
And then my daughter, she was really like kind of panicking. Mm-hmm. So she ran over. She wanted me to carry her. So we started walking back with the kids, had to kind of walk by their camp again. The bear was still like, now he was going through their, they had like Rubbermaid totes and shit. He was kind of pulling stuff out and digging in there.
Yeah.
And so I brought Maya to the truck, and then Jess was still with Dakota. And like, I kind of had to double back to, they were making conversation with the two girls that were standing there, like, oh, how did you guys hear about the bear? And they were like, your husband told us.
Yeah.
So I had to go, like, hey, we have to go, we have to get out and get in the truck where it's safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then so like, did that, got Jess safe, the kids were safe, the two ladies, they had gone to their car. And then I just felt like, I was like, I'm gonna shoo this bear away. Like, I felt like I can do this. So got back out, I kind of started walking parallel with him, and he was like, had his nose down. He didn't look like he was being aggressive. He was just sniffing around and looking.
Yeah.
And then so I just remember from my childhood having like bear safety courses, and I took like, you know, outdoor education stuff, and like one of the big things is like, you want to kind of make yourself seem like bigger, and then you want to also like talk to the bear and be like, stop, whoa bear, like, time to go, buddy. So I was saying these things, and the one that really resonated with me, I was like, whoa bear, not today, like, it's time for you to go. So then I just started doing that, and as I was walking towards him, he noticed that, like, he didn't like that I was talking, so he started walking away.
Yeah.
And then I ended up getting him like kind of close up followed him for 5 minutes, got him close up to the highway, and then I just hopped in my truck, and then I kind of drove up towards the highway, and it scared him off. And let me tell you, we did not get much sleep that night.
No.
Because we were debating going to get a hotel.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think he ain't coming back. Like, so we...
Well, those have been your five questions.
Jesus. Yeah. And like, did you grow up camping?
Yeah. No, I didn't grow up camping. So yeah. Him telling us that we got to go camp on rocks in the bush in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then this bear actually was coming right up to me. I remember this moment. But he had it. He like put his arms big, talked to this bear. And it's so wild because like this wool bear is like, because we've been through so much in our life that we've overcome with this resilience. And yeah. Now his music is like this, like wool bear is in him, like this suppression of like this anger maybe or other things that he needed to overcome. But he put it into music and it's so powerful and healing and beautiful for other people to have that same message for them in their lives.
That's awesome.
So that's where it all comes together.
Very cool. Well, listen, Tanner tapped his watch. That means we're out of time. But before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
Yeah, I just want to shout out my wife. She's my rock through this, honestly, man. Like, she does a lot in the background that people don't... I wouldn't be able to do on my own. She's my shining light, and I just appreciate her. And then what was the other one?
That's it.
That's it. Thanks for your time.
Yeah,
man.
No worries, man. Well, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world. That's been another episode of the Max City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Noral Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.